The drive continues with Need to Know Basis on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the Drive Lever Stage. AJ Jack, Quebec, Matt Conesvita. Hoobastank. Did not expect Hoobastank to be played today, but it's all songs from either 1967 or 2004. I wonder why.
The number six song in the year 2004, the year I graduated from high school.
Oh, that makes me feel very old.
A lot of Hoobastank slow dancing at the Colonel By cafeteria.
Here's what you need to know. You need to know that Canada beat Slovakia 5-1 at the World Hockey Championships. Pierre-Luc Dubois had a couple. Nick Holden had an assist for Canada. Germany beat France 3-2, but Tim Stützle left the game with a knee injury and did not return. Still don't have an update on exactly how long he will be out. Pete DeBoer fired by the Vegas Golden Knights earlier today, and Lane Lambert was an associate coach with the Islanders, and he is now replaced. Barry Trotz as the head man in New York with the Islanders. We got a Jays Mariners series that begins tonight, the first game of the season that the Dome will be open in Toronto. And Price, Chera, and Hayes, all named finalists for the Bill Masterton Trophy that is about perseverance and sportsmanship to the game in the NHL. And right now, that is what you need to know. You need to know that the playoffs have an off night tonight, AJ. Feels weird. Get an off night before all the series begin again tomorrow. And of the eight teams that are left, does it feel like Colorado is the absolute favorite right now just because of the conference that they're in?
Well, are we doing our picks here now?
Let's at 5:15 on a Monday afternoon. Let's do our picks for the next round. And we'll start, AJ, with you taking the St. Louis Blues over the Colorado Avalanche.
No, that's not happening.
I
do think this is going to be a tough series. I don't think any of these are gimmies. Colorado has to find a way past round two this time, don't they? I mean, St. Louis, I'm not sold on their goaltending, but my goodness, they're a deep team. They're a heavy team. They can play physical. 920 goal scores. But I just think Colorado, it feels like they're ready to take a step. It feels like they probably would have learned from last year's defeat against Vegas. And if they don't, I think major changes are in order. And when I say major changes, I'm not saying you're getting rid of Landeskog or Makar or Rantanen or obviously Nate MacKinnon, but maybe you switch the coach, right? Because if you keep stumbling against inferior opposition in round two, might be time to go out and find the guy that can get you over the top. And there's a couple of pretty good guys out there, especially Barry Trotz. But I think Colorado's just the better team. They got Kemper in goal. I like their goaltending better than St. Louis's, and I like their top players better than St. Louis's. And in a playoff where I think the top players have been allowed to be the best players, I think that's going to make a difference. Colorado in six.
Matthew Conesvita.
I am also picking Colorado. I've flip-flopped on how many games. I don't want to match AJ, so I'm going to say Colorado in five. I think they're just so much better than everyone else in the West this year. The only team that was anywhere close in the regular season, obviously, was Calgary. But the Avs are just head and shoulders better. What the Blues did in round one scares me a little bit. And I think they do get a win. I don't think this is another sweep for the Avs. But I don't know. I think Colorado's just too strong and too hungry. And as you said, I think there's the real threat. And they know that if they can't get to the conference finals at the least, that's a huge indictment of them as a group and as a team. And so I expect Colorado to put the boots to St. Louis a little bit here. Give me the Avalanche in five.
Okay. I worry about Colorado, and I don't say in game one, but I worry about the first few games of this series with the Blues carrying over a lot of momentum, feeling really good about themselves while Colorado has sat around and watched. I think that can be a major advantage early in a series. But the way that the Avalanche play, I think this is longer too. I do feel like you, AJ, it's a six game series, possible seven, but I'll stick with six. I think if anybody's actually picking St. Louis, love to hear from you as to exactly why, because from what we've seen so far of the Colorado Avalanche, it would be difficult for me to look at a team like St. Louis and think that they're going to beat them four times in seven games. Just, you know, watch a lot of that St. Louis, Minnesota. They were really good at points in that series, but Minnesota just never got it to the next level. It's a level that Colorado starts at. And Darcy Kuemper is the best goalie that they've had in a long time with this group, right? So if he's ready to go, it's going to be very difficult. I like the Avalanche a little bit longer. I think the Blues win a couple in six games. AJ, the Battle of Alberta for the right to face the winner of Colorado, St. Louis. It's Calgary. It's Edmonton. It starts in Calgary on Wednesday night. It should be fantastic theater. But who's going to win?
I think Calgary's got the edge in terms of experience behind the bench. And certainly I'd go with Markstrom over Smith, even though Smith looked outstanding towards the end of that series and had a great end of the season. So, yeah, they're a little bit more physical team, a little bit deeper. But, man, if Connor McDavid keeps playing the way he did in the last seven periods, like, no one can raise their game to that level in the league. And I like the fact that they've got a little bit more help for him up front, whether it's Vander Kane, Zach Hyman. You've got the Nuge, obviously Leon Draisaitl. Having this series start on Wednesday helps a little bit more in the sense that that can help with Draisaitl's ankle, which clearly wasn't at 100%. But I think it's going to be a ferocious series. It's going to be a tight series. I like the Oilers in six.
Okay, Matt.
I trust the goaltending in Calgary a lot more than the goaltending in Edmonton.
I was just going to say, I'm a little bit disappointed at the end of AJ's prediction. We didn't get a...
It is Marshall!
Score! There we go. Thank you.
Double tap by accident.
No,
there.
We
so
heard
faded.
It. No. We,
but
it was
Coley
good.
Was there.
Yeah. That's what I thought we were getting right after. Oilers in six. Sorry.
Oh, it's all good. I give Calgary the edge in goaltending. I think they're a deeper team. And add to the fact, Calgary, I think, struggled so much in round one. A, because Ottinger was phenomenal. But B, the style that Dallas played really stymied and slowed down the Flames and limited their opportunities to get really any shots, but certainly any shots from high danger areas. I can't see Edmonton doing that. I think Calgary is the deeper team. And I don't think Edmonton has it in them to dictate and play the way they want to play instead of the way Calgary wants to play, the way Dallas did. And so, I think Connor McDavid is the best player in the series. So it's not going to be an easy victory for Calgary by any means. But I have the Flames winning in six.
Yeah, I think it's a long series. I think what happens here is that Edmonton proves that they are close. But what I don't think is close, unfortunately, is I don't know how good Carolina's goaltending is. I really don't know the answer to that question. But what I do know is Mike Smith's the worst goalie left in the playoffs. And I can't take that guy going up against, yeah, Markstrom wasn't tested that much. You know, his numbers are impressive from the first round. He had a 940 save percentage and a 1.63 goals against. It was against a team that they should have beaten up pretty easily, and it took them a while because of the performance of the other goaltender. But Mike Smith's the worst goalie left, period. And Jacob Markstrom is not seventh on the list of eight. I don't know where he is behind Vasilevsky, behind, I don't know, but he's not near the bottom. I just can't take Mike Smith. I can't do it. I'd like Edmonton to push Calgary here. I want to see a great series. I want to see a seventh game. I want to see all the drama. I'm here for maximum chaos. I am. I just don't think the Oilers are deep enough on defense and in goal to withstand some of the stuff Calgary's going to be able to throw at them. The Flames are just must be breathing a sigh of relief knowing they're going to get just by going onto the ice. They're doubling their offensive chances just by playing the Oilers as opposed to playing the Dallas Stars. So, long series, but I like the Calgary Flames.
I don't know that he's
the worst
goalie. Are
you saying six or seven?
Seven.
I don't know if he's the worst goalie left in the playoffs. I think it's fair to say you might take, if you're picking a draft, okay, you're probably taking Vasilevsky one and maybe Shesterkin two and, you know, go down the list, maybe Markstrom three, on and on and on. But I'm not sure in terms of the way he's played, he's been pretty good in this playoff.
It is Marshall! Score!
No, yeah, like, you can play that all you want. I'm not saying, well, I would take...
Who would you take?
I already said I would take Markstrom over him.
No, but
in a heartbeat.
Who would you take below Mike Smith? Like, who would you put below Mike Smith?
That's not the same question as who's the worst goalie in these playoffs, though. St. Louis had to change their goaltending. Carolina hasn't even had their starter play a game yet. So I guess there's different ways to word it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking me to do a draft, I would probably draft him seventh or eighth, but that doesn't mean that he's going to play poorly. I think that's, it is the bit, it's the wild card here, right? It is the wild card, because if you look at how Mike Smith played in that series against Los Angeles, other than maybe one game, he was pretty darn good. That's all I'm saying.
Which is fair, but in one game he was bad, and it's the LA Kings that should never have pressed the Oilers to where they were either. I don't know. If it's a wild card, I'm going to be pessimistic about him until he shows me otherwise.
Yeah, 938 save percentage. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yep. And I'm not
so
even...
You... Okay.
But
I guess if you got a 938 save percentage in the playoffs,
mm-hmm,
and you came in with what? What was he? 901 going in? I'm just saying he's playing well. He's playing maybe over his head, but he's a battler, and you can't argue the numbers.
Well, sure. I can tell you he's 4-13 in his last 17 playoff games. I can tell you that. So we can, numbers are always fit to where you want them to be.
All that matters is this year.
I agree.
And they won a series.
I know where you're coming from. I don't even think Markstrom was the best, because he didn't face great competition. But you can't tell me that Mike Smith faced great competition either, right? So I don't really care that Markstrom had a 940 save percentage. He's got a lot of proving to do when it matters with the Calgary Flames. But I have more faith in him than I do in Mike Smith. I have more faith in any other team.
To me, it's an edge for Calgary, for sure. If I'm asked to pick between the two goalies before the series, I'm definitely picking Markstrom. But beware the guy who's got a 938 save percentage that was 901 to end the regular season. He's on a bit of a heater right now. I wouldn't really call him the worst goalie in the playoffs.
Okay, well, that's where we differ. Because of the eight, even if he's not that bad, I would take him last right now, especially with the team defenses of the other two teams where I'm not like for Carolina, they've showed at points that they can really lock. They locked the Bruins' top line down at different points in the series. And that doesn't mean Antti Raanta was incredible, but let's go to Carolina and the New York Rangers. Because this is an interesting series here. I don't know what to make of Carolina, AJ, before you pick, because at home they were terrific. And on the road, they really weren't that good. And this feels to me like, I don't know, it's an interesting series. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sold on Carolina either, and I have been for the last couple of years, but they're a deep team. Again, four lines deep, really good defense. Raanta played well for them, so there's that. I mean, we'll see when Anderson's going to be ready to go, but Raanta played well for them in that last round, so that helped. They need more from their best guys. They need more from Sebastian Aho, to me, who's been decent in these playoffs, but decent when you look at the guys that are left. You got Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider and Fox, for example, in this series for the Rangers. And if you get past it, you're going to have to beat that gauntlet of Point, Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman, or, you know, what Florida has, and Giroux and Verhaeghe and Barkov and Huberto and Ekblad, right? And I just don't know. I know that 13 through 18, Carolina is going to be good. I just don't know 1 through 5 that they're going to be better than anyone left in the playoffs. If a guy like Aho and Svechnikov don't step up their games a little bit. Again, I'm not sitting here saying that they've been poor, but they're going to have to be better if they're going to get to a Stanley Cup. I think they get past this series. I think it's going to be long. I think it's going to be competitive, much like the two series that these teams played before. But I'll say Carolina in 7. Not overly sold on this pick.
I also have Carolina in 7. I agree with AJ on a lot of what he had to say here, and breaking down and looking what this series is going to look like. I don't know. I could see this being a homer series again, like Carolina's was in round one, where they each team holds serve and they go to 7, and then maybe a bit of a coin flip in game 7. I don't know. I think the Rangers are a bit too up and down for me to pick them to win the series, but I think this is going to be a really entertaining series to watch. And yeah, I also have the Canes in 7.
This one, to me, at first glance, was when the Rangers won yesterday. Finally, you've overthought the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
Game 7 overtime, lost Sidney Crosby. But when Shesterkin gets pulled in 2 of the games, and he's widely considered one of the best goaltenders in the league, and they get past that, my first instinct was that he's going to be a lot better in round 2, and that's going to make it very difficult for another team. But I now can't get past, you know, sometimes you see numbers, and as much as you read, you try and find some other things, and I can't go away from this number. Expected goals 5-on-5 in the New York-Pittsburgh series. Game 1, 60% Penguins. Number game 2, 64% Penguins. The Rangers, 52 in game 3. Game 4, 81% Rangers. Game 5, 61%. Game 7, or game 6, 63%. Game 7, 63%. 5-on-5, the Rangers were the worst team in round 1, period. They can't get past this team. Carolina's way better. They relied on their goaltending and their power play. You can't get by good teams round after round. They were lucky to come back from 3-1. They were 5-on-5, they were outperformed in 6 of the 7 games.
Facing a third string goalie for most of the series, and the turning point of the series is when Sidney Crosby, who was maybe as good as he's ever been, left injured. Another reason to pick against the Rangers.
Well, no, it's just their expected goals percentage was less than 40% for the entire series. The worst of any team. Worse than Dallas. And they were really bad at offensively. So I just can't get that number out of my head. So I have to pick Carolina in five games. All right, Tampa, Florida.
Well, I picked them last year. I'm picking them again. I'm taking Florida. And last year, I might have overthought it.
You guys overthought Florida.
Yep, you got that right.
But why have you changed your mind?
Because Florida's better. I think last year, what I based things on was on Tampa Bay running out of gas. And I think maybe that's a possibility, but I'm not counting on that part of it. I just think Florida gave them a really good run last year, but they were inexperienced. And it showed in particular in game one when they had the game and took a stupid penalty and basically gifted game one, a game they had and were dominating, to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think they've learned. I think round one was a real good test for them because they're down 2-1. They're trailing late in game four. They found a way to win. They're trailing 3-0 in game five. They found a way to win. I think that's going to go a long way for this young group. Just to know, like, if they're playing in round one, that would concern me, but they got past this series. Now, one thing I'll say about the Florida Panthers is they can't, and I know they came back from a lot of deficits over the course of the season. Tampa Bay is not Washington. Tampa Bay is not, you know, Toronto in the regular season when you gift a team a 3 or a 4-goal lead and you come back and you win in overtime. They can't be given teams 2 and 3-goal leads because Tampa Bay knows how to defend and they've got Vasilevsky in goal. So they're going to have to come out right from the outset in these games and control the tempo and set the tone. But I do think it's their time. I think they're deeper, and their top guys, as long as they step up a little bit, Barkov did towards the end of the series. Huberto's a guy that will. You know, they've got 7-8 guys that can score goals. And Bobrovsky, as long as he is decent, he doesn't have to be as good as Vasilevsky. If he is decent, I just think they're going to have too much. That third line for Tampa Bay, you know, Colton and Hagel, it's just not what it was before. Yeah, Nick Paul certainly helps them. Point's not 100% even when he comes back. Kucherov, what's his percentage going to be? Florida Panthers in 6.
Come on, Matt. Do it. Do it.
I've got it written down.
Do it.
But
you want to take Florida?
I do.
Yeah, take them.
But then I think about it, and goaltending, Vasilevsky over Bobrovsky, like, it's not even close. Coaching, give me John Cooper Mellencamp. I worry about how beat up Tampa is in key areas, but you got Victor Hedman on the blue line. You know what? I don't care that I wrote Florida in 6. Give me Tampa Bay in 7.
Come on, Matt.
Just to be different.
You wanted to take Florida Panthers.
I did. But I don't know. Goaltending, coaching. I don't trust playoff Bob. You know what? I'm not going to overthink Florida this year. And I'm going to be cheering for the Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the Cats bandwagon for sure. I want to see Claude Giroux, Mackenzie Weegar. I want to see them win the Stanley Cup. That's what I want to see. I want to see a rematch of 96 in the finals. I want to see Colorado, Florida. That's my dream final. But you know what? They're the champs until you beat them. I'm not picking against Tampa. I'm not making the same mistake. Tampa, 7. Lock it down. Lee, break the tie.
Well,
you're taking Tampa.
I am. For sure I am. Because they are the defending 2-time Stanley Cup champions, and they had the most impressive first round win. I think the Leafs could have beat anybody except Tampa. And where I worry for Florida is that their level against Washington, they barely got past Washington, and Tampa had to deal with one of the best teams in the NHL, and they got past it. And I just like the confidence of the group. Even if they get down in the series, I would still wonder about Florida's. You're right, coaching's better. Their goaltending in big moments is better. So I think it's going to come down, like the Leaf game, or like the Leaf series, to a big moment and a big game. And if it gets to a game six, a game seven, I would trust Tampa more. So I'm taking Tampa.
St. Louis had a pretty impressive first round series win too.
Yep, not better than Tampa's though, in my opinion.
How many games, Lee?
Six games.
All right.
Overtime, game six.
I saw AJ writing things down. I've got it saved as well.
Nice.
No, I didn't. I wasn't writing that down. So.
I got lots of green for all of us in round one.
Yeah, a lot of difference of opinion here in round two.
Some red. I mean, all red across the board. We all had Minnesota. But then you had Pittsburgh. Yeah. Otherwise, we were bang on. Not many perfect picks. Lee had three perfect picks. Team and games. But
let's go.
Round two picks are in. We're ready to go.
Let's go. Can't wait for it. Starts tomorrow night. Back with more of The Drive on TSN 1200.
It's time for the Leftover Five on The Drive, a fun look at weird and wacky happenings in the world of sports. Brought to you by St. Hubert Barbecue.
Welcome back. It is the Leftover Five on The Drive. Five fun frivolous stories all brought to you by St. Hubert, st-hubert.com.
Chicken, ribs, and hockey. They got fries. They got sauce. Two types of coleslaw, creamy and traditional. And do you know what time it is at St. Hubert right now, Lee?
I have no idea.
It's lobster time.
Come on.
Got lobster roll, a lobster Saint burger, and lobster salad.
It's incredible. I love lobster.
Spring. I mean, I got a honeymoon out to the East Coast coming up, going to be eating lots of lobster. I don't even have to leave Ottawa to get lobster now. Just go to Saint Hubert. I'd probably go with the lobster roll. I'm not going to lie. I love a lobster roll. You get the Saint Hubert fries and sauce on the side. Oh, I can taste it now. And they got all sorts of locations for you. St. Joseph Boulevard in Orleans. St. Laurent Boulevard right across from the Museum of Science and Tech. They're at Riverside and Hunt Club where you can drive through, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to get out of your car. And on a night like tonight with all the rain in the forecast, drive through would be a pretty key move. They're also right off the highway in Rockland, Lee. Across the river. Multiple locations in Gatineau, including our favorite on Boulevard de Maisonneuve.
Oh, yeah.
And they will also, if you don't want to go out in this weather tonight, they will deliver right to your door, contactless delivery, st-hubert.com.
What a night for it tonight.
Oh, perfect night for a little lobster roll.
Okay, you're making me hungry. Let's get to the stories.
All right, well, have you got any vacation planned for this summer, and particularly maybe late July, Lee?
Not yet.
Well,
not me.
If you're off on July 31st,
mm-hmm.
you might want to make your way down to Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
Because you know who is coming out of retirement for one last match?
Woo!
Nature Boy. He's announced his return,
mm-hmm.
returning to the ring for one last time. He says, I will prove once again that to be the man, you've got to beat the man. Now we go to school.
Woo!
July 31st, Nashville, Tennessee, Lee.
I like Nashville. How do you not like the city? Incredible.
The rumors are true. I'm going to walk that aisle, style and profile, one last time.
This is hard. Hard for me to talk about. Because, AJ, like in all sports, you're fans of people, you're fans of their accomplishments, and then they get a little bit past their prime and you kind of want to see them go out on a high note. And Rick's been hanging around for a long time. What I don't need to see on July 31st in Nashville is 73-year-old Ric Flair in the ring. Because when he was wrestling Ricky Steamboat, 1989, in maybe the greatest trilogy of matches ever, people would put it up against some of the best of all time. That was a long time ago. 33, 34 years ago. I don't need to see 73-year-old Ric Flair one last time.
You know what? Just as long as we get a classic Ric Flair.
Woo!
It's good enough for me.
This one's very difficult.
All right, I got a story.
Okay.
So Sunderland is playing. A lot of people have maybe watched on Netflix Sunderland Till I Die. They are playing Wickham in the League One playoff final. Winner goes to the championship, which is directly below the Premier League. And I picked this story out because people in Canada can relate to this. Now, we can't totally relate to this because you can take the train pretty much everywhere in England, and you can't really do that here. You can't just jump on the train and go to Edmonton, for example.
No.
But a Sunderland fan, because he was frustrated with the flights from Newcastle, which is right next to Sunderland, to London, cost him £162. Well, he realized that the plane journey from Newcastle to Menorca in Spain was $12.50. And then the return ticket to Stansted in London was $10.50. So he decided, you know what? I'm going to Spain. Overnight in Spain. And then making the journey from there to London. And it's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than if he would have just flown directly into London. I like the ingenuity. I appreciate this. This is a story that warms and tickles my heart.
Near and dear to your heart.
It is. When I see a story like this, like if you were asking me, all right, you know what? It's a big game in Toronto, and it's $160 to go right to Toronto, but it was $10 to go to Vancouver, and then $10 to come back to Toronto, I'm doing the Vancouver. You know what? I don't care what the hotel is. I'm going to Vancouver for a night. Good for
pretty much tells us everything.
James Jelly.
James Jelly. AJ Jackie Beck. It's the same person. Quickly.
The big difference here
is,
and I haven't traveled Europe as extensively as Aaron John Jackie Beck, but I assume the flight to Menorca, because every flight I've done in Europe is like a tight 90 minutes, if not less. It's great. It's like, oh, flying to Germany, 90 minutes. Oh, I'm flying to the Netherlands, an hour and 15 minutes. Like,
right, it's all there.
So that, from that aspect, that's even more palatable than AJ's
Vancouver.
Theoretical Vancouver. Like the Vancouver, that's a bunch of time zones. That's a long flight. Menorca, like that's, oh my God, that's unbelievable. It's a heck of a move, and I'm with you, Age. The more places I can see, the happier I am. And an excuse to go to Spain? I mean, it just shows how ridiculous flying domestically can be sometimes. And I know people who have flown, like, if you want to go to Seattle from here, or if you want to go to Vancouver, rather, out of Ottawa, might be a little bit cheaper. Fly down south, or sorry, drive down south, fly to Seattle, rent a car, drive north into Vancouver, and you're going to save a whole bunch of money as opposed to flying domestically.
Yeah. Speaking about money, two tickets on the glass for Game 1, Carolina and the New York Rangers. $1,160.
Whew.
So for a pair of tickets, about $550, $570 each. Let's go to Madison Square Garden.
I was going to ask, what's on the glass for Game 3?
Well, a pair of tickets in Carolina was $1,160. What do you guys think for Game 3?
I'll say two tickets, $2,400.
$2,400, $1,200 each.
Matt. I was thinking I was going to double it. I don't want to match AJ exactly. I'm going to exactly double it. Let me do some quick math. $2,320.
So pretty much AJ's answer.
Yeah, pretty much, but
yeah, well, how about keep going up and up and up.
Three.
Yeah. How about 10?
Shut up.
$10,000.
For a pair of tickets on the glass.
That's correct.
Oh. No,
in fact, sorry, $9,852.50. Almost $5,000. to sit on the glass. Game three.
By the way, you know,
Rangers,
speaking
Carolina.
Of prices, you know what else is really expensive? Not surprising, given the surge of interest in F1. I had just looked for the heck of it. Canadian GP prices. Like, you're not getting in now for under $1,000. And for a 3-star hotel, anywhere downtown, Old Port, you're not getting in anywhere for under $1,300 a night on the Saturday night.
So
you better plan ahead. And if you haven't planned ahead, and if you want to go to that Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal, it's going to be quite pricey, whether you stay the night or not.
9:50 and 10:50. Still pretty good prices for the flights.
Hey, go to Menorca.
All right. Well, tomorrow we'll be on the eve of game one of round two of the playoffs. So hopefully everyone's getting home safe and sound. Be safe out there. Enjoy your Monday night off from the National Hockey League playoffs. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, too. Lever Sage, AJ Jakubik, Matt Konnisvita on the drive on TSN 1200.